Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back here to Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino, and Notre Dame is celebrating at the midfield here at the All-State Sugar Bowl. They have defeated Georgia, so congratulations to them. They are moving on in the college football playoff. And
they've never won 13 games in a season.
Wow.
Up until now. And I didn't even have to watch the end of it. We probably got about 60 people here. We near where they placing bets, and about 58 of them were screaming because they picked Notre Dame. I mean, it was that loud. Man, they were really hooting and hollering for the Irish. So, congratulations.
A 23-10 final, Notre Dame taking down Georgia.
Defense, defense, defense. Hand all 11 starters a game ball, and also the dude that run back that kickoff. That was great, too.
We are also getting ready for the Saints season finale. We talked, checked in with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now with our own Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, how was your New Year's and how you doing, man?
You know, I'm hanging in there. It's been a rough week, obviously, as you guys know. But, yeah, I'm glad the Sugar Bowl has come and gone. Hopefully everyone can get home safely and we can kind of move on with the week. But yeah, it's kind of weird to kind of make this transition out of all the craziness that's been going on into, oh, it's just a football game on Sunday. But that's what we're trying to do. That's what the Saints are trying to do. And we'll see how that goes.
And Jeff, it's so funny when your season end, and what you talk about is absolutely correct with, you know, just a heinous situation that happened here. And so many people, you know, innocent people lose their lives. But it comes to an end so quickly in the NFL. Man, we wait so long for the NFL season to start. And when it ends and you don't get into the playoffs, man, it's a real long wait before you see, you know, your team hit NFL games again. How definitive and how it's over. Basically, it's done with in the National Football League. And that's what you have here with the Saints.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing for this season in particular is, you know, we haven't dealt with this a lot over the last, you know, 15 years or so, is this game doesn't, you know, no, all games matter, whatever you want to say. The game statistically does not matter in the playoff hunt. And we've been here for 3 weeks. This is three consecutive weeks that the Saints have been eliminated and you got to go play a football game. And I think it really tests your professionalism. I think that's what we learn about in these scenarios with football teams is who needs that motivation of the playoffs and everything to go be your best version of yourself as a football player, and who is actually a professional who can go out there and say, it doesn't matter if there's no playoffs, the process is the process. And that's what, you know, I think the Saints are going to benefit from having some veterans in that room who understand that. You know, some of these younger teams that get in this scenario, it goes poorly for them. And I think that's a big part of the reason. It's, you know, the wheels kind of come off the track. I think the Saints are going to go out there and give it their best shot. You know, will they be able to compete with the Bucs on the field from a talent perspective? I don't know. But, yeah, it is frustrating because, you know, like you said, it's such a big deal, football in this city. And, you know, last year it at least came down to the wire, right? We went into that Week 18 game against the Falcons kind of being like, all right, let's see what happens. You got a chance. That was the case. You know, 2 years before that, same situation in Atlanta, didn't make it again. So yeah, it's tough because so much goes into this season from the players, from the entire organization, from our coverage, everything. And then it's just all of a sudden the finality of it done. But that's, you know, that's the business, right?
The other thing too is I've had some friends tell me, man, you know, just was an uneventful season, to be honest, in a lot of ways, other than how it started and then the injuries took hold and the losing took hold. I said, well, it won't be that way in the off season. I think the offseason may be much more eventful of things happening, decisions made, new head coach, new coaching staff. You got a situation where a lot of, well, I should say not a lot, but some of the guys that have been stalwarts here for a long time, they may be wearing that black and gold for the last time Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. That's true for players. That's true for coaches, too, probably. I mean, if you move on from a Darren Rizzi and you go with somebody else as head coach, does he stick around? He's been here for 6 years. That's a pretty long tenure in the NFL when you consider, you know, that's two coaching tenures that he stuck through. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in the past it's kind of been like, okay, who are you adding to this group, this kind of a large core that you feel like is the situation? And in this offseason, it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be, who are you keeping in this group when you, with the rest of it being kind of rebuilt around that? The guy I'm kind of fascinated to see how it goes with is Clint Kubiak. You know, is a new coach coming in going to want to stick with him in that system? I'm sure this team, this franchise, will probably want to run that back because they brought him in for a reason. 1 year with an offense is tough to say, okay, we got what we could out of it. And you saw some flashes of a really elite offense when this team was healthy. But no, I agree with you. I mean, it's going to be a busy, busy offseason, and it's going to start quickly because you're going to, you know, this game's going to happen on Sunday. You're going to start this evaluation process internally. You know, you're going to have all these exit interviews. You're going to do the evaluations of your staff, of your players, and then you're immediately going to turn to a head coaching search. And, you know, the draft gets up on you quick, and you got to have these things in place while you're scouting, or at least you want to for the majority of it. You know, the Senior Bowl's only a few weeks away, right? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how quickly the Saints get into that process. They've traditionally been one of the slower-moving organizations in terms of, and I don't say that as a negative, I say that in terms of they're very calculated. They make sure they go through the entire process. I know that that's going to rub some fans the wrong way who kind of just want it to get done. There's always this idea that, oh, they're going to be, you know, late to the table and someone's going to get scooped up. I don't really think they're worried about that. You know, they're not, they want to be right more than they want to be first. But no, there's not going to be a lot of downtime this offseason. I can guarantee you that.
Jeff, give me a guy or maybe two guys that has surprised you this year. I'll tell you one from a year ago, and that's Foster Moreau. I look at Foster last year and I understand the health issue. And a lot of people didn't take that into consideration, what he had to overcome to even play last year. But his play this year is so much better than what we saw a year ago. But is there somebody, if it can be whatever, offense, defense, special teams, that you were really surprised at this year?
Well, you took my top answer, so I do have to give you grief for that. You asked me a question, then you stole my answer. But No, Foster's definitely a guy that I think when you look at it in terms of expectations versus reality, I think he over-delivered. And the only question I have is why don't you give him more opportunities in the passing game? Because it just seems like every time you give him a chance, he delivers, right? But the only question is why isn't he getting more? You know, it's really tough there. It's hard to point to anybody and say, like, man, these guys have been fantastic. It's been a really rough season. If I had to pick one guy, we talked to him today in the locker room. It's tough to say, oh, the first round rookie is overperforming. But when you ask a rookie player to come into the NFL, change his position, play left tackle from week one, and really not be an issue all season long, like he's had some rough spots. That game against the Broncos was particularly tough for him. He admitted that today, you know, as he looks back, that's probably the game that probably gets on him the most. But yeah, Talifuaga, I just think he's done exactly what you needed him to do, right? This team is not going to be right on offense or defense until it figures out the trenches, until it figures out how to block people up front, and it figures out how to rush the passer and stop the run consistently and the defensive side of the ball. And it's good to at least know you have one of those pieces concrete. Then you look over at Eric McCoy. He's obviously had the health issues, but you feel good there. So you at least have two kind of core pieces of that group, and you can figure out the rest around it. But he would be one for me. And then, you know, the cop-out would probably be MVS because, you know, his expectations going into the year, he was on a different team. You didn't have any expectations of the fact that he's basically your leading receiver right now is definitely up there. But, I'm trying to rack my brains to come up with somebody. It's funny because Rashid Shaheed, I feel like we've all kind of forgotten about him at this point in the season. But when you look at what he was able to do over his first, what, seven games, I think he only played seven games, maybe six. I think he was really kind of blossoming into the player that he could be. So, it's really tough to pull some positives out of this season when so much of it has gone poorly. But I think those guys would be my answer.
You think no matter who is in charge, coaching wise, and whatever, but Chase Young, does this team make a play to try to bring him back?
I think it's going to be all about the market, right? Like I don't think he's done anything this year that makes you kind of your eyes pop out of your head, like, oh, you got to keep him around, whatever the price. But, he's a guy that it feels like he's been in the league forever because he kind of has. The guy's only 25 years old. Like, he is still in a developing player entering his prime. So, I think if you can get him back on a team-friendly deal, I don't see why you wouldn't, right? Like, in terms of, hey, we're trying to rebuild the core of this team a little bit, I think a 25-year-old is a guy that you would be willing to, invest some money in. So I think it's really going to come down to, what the new defense wants to do, right? Like, if you're going to bring in somebody who wants to change up a ton on defense, is he going to fit that scheme? I'm just assuming that the entire defense is going to be rebuilt because how can you not at this point? Dennis Allen is gone. I don't think that anything that we've seen since he's left has made you be like, oh, we got to keep this in place. So, I think it's going to come down to that. It's going to come down to the new head coach, new defensive coordinator, what you want to do on defense. But when you're talking about a guy with that skill set and the ability, and I think he has had a better season than the numbers might suggest. I think he's fallen off a little bit over the last few weeks, but he had a really strong stretch there for about four games after Rizzi took over. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back. The guy I have the biggest question about, and I asked Joe Woods about it today, I'm going to ask Rizzi about it tomorrow, is Isaiah Foskey. We're talking about a second-round pick. We've basically seen nothing from him. And it's not that you've had him on the field and he hasn't delivered. It's that you haven't put him on the field. I think going into Week 17, he had 55 offensive snaps. And that's actually fewer than he had as a rookie. And when I asked Joe Woods why that was today, he basically said, hey, we kind of have a stacked lineup here in terms of who is he playing in front of, right? No one's really gotten hurt on the defensive line at this point in the season, right? I mean, Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, Chase Young, all these guys, Peyton Turner even, like, they've all played in all of these games. Peyton Turner does have an ankle injury now. Maybe he misses this game, and that's your kind of ability to get Isaiah on the field. But this is my second-round pick from last year. I am not just going to say, yeah, we'll figure it out. Like, I need to know whether that guy is a player or not. And I think that plays into, okay, how much am I willing to invest in my defensive line when I have a second-round pick that I haven't even played yet? And I don't know if he can hang at the NFL level. So, no, I'd like to see Chase come back. If it's not going to be a bidding war, in my opinion. But I do think he's played well enough that the Saints would be perfectly fine keeping him around.
Looking at today's practice report, Jeff, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara still not practicing with their injuries. Are Saints still holding out hope that they could possibly suit up in the season finale?
The term that Riz has used every week for the last month has been, okay, we're keeping that window open or we're keeping the door open for them to potentially play. It's really hard to see them playing. It's, they're both doing the work, they're doing the rehab. Derek's issue has been grip strength, I believe, in that left hand. They were going to simulate some form of practice this week or some form of, like, what it would look like in a game this week to see if he could go. We haven't heard on how that went yet. I think if it went well today, he would have probably been out there at practice. So we'll see. It could still happen tomorrow, and they do that just to get him back on the field. It's tough because you don't want to put someone out there because they're a gamer and they want to play, and then they get hurt worse, and it's a problem. I don't think you really want to cross that bridge. The guy that I have a much bigger question about in terms of I could see him playing is Chris Olave. He's been a full participant in the last four or five practices. He looks good. He's getting back into shape. And Rizzi said he had a great day on Wednesday. It's one of those situations that, hey, is it worth putting him out there? I don't know. But if he wants to play and you feel like he is healthy enough to play, there is no reason to hold him out. I could see him going out there, and you know, I wouldn't want to have him run a full allotment of snaps. I'd probably trim some branches off his route tree a little bit. I don't want him catching any quick slants over the middle of the field where he's going to get lit up by a linebacker. But I do think it would be valuable for the Saints and for Chris Olave to get out there and just get that feeling of being in an NFL game back, so that when you go into next season, you're not still asking that question. So that's the guy I'd watch. I'd be surprised if Derek or Alvin play them.
Jeff, crazy thing, and goes to show our world sort of wheels from one end to the other. I can't tell you how many Saints fans and people who have had season tickets for a long time, the biggest black and gold supporters in the world, tell me, I hope the Saints don't win this weekend. I cannot take the Falcons being the NFC South champs. I hate to say it because they were Saints fans, but it's like, man, that's no way that I am pulling hard for the Saints to win. I'd love to see them get a W, but if the W means the Falcons win the South, I'm all against
it. Right?
Yeah, I was telling Steve this. I grew up a Giants fan, and one thing I remember vividly is that in 2020, the Eagles, Giants, and Washington, I think they were the football team at that point, were in this exact scenario. If the Eagles beat the Commanders in Week 18, the Giants get in. If the Eagles lose to the Commanders in Week 18, the Commanders get in. The Eagles, up until halftime, they were like, all right, we're going to win this game. Then Doug Peterson, probably in hopes of saving his job, yanks Jalen Hurts, puts in Nate Sudfeld, and it's like, he gives us the best chance to win. This is Jalen Hurts as a rookie. He's already the backup. They've already benched Carson Wentz. It was a clear tank job. Giants fans were irate, but then the Eagles were like, hey, we didn't want to ruin our draft pick. We get it. They fired Doug Peterson anyway. But I think that's the dream scenario, right? If you're a Saints fan, you want to see them go out there and play well. I want to see Spencer Rattler go out there and ball, right? And then you kind of you prove that you can win the game in the first half, and then maybe you sell a little bit in the second half just to give Falcons fans some hope and then yank it away from them. But no, I mean, you're going to send these guys out there with the goal of winning the game. Whether they win the game or not, you know, my whole thing is it's not going to hurt your draft pick. They can't drop any lower than 10th. So just enjoy it, right? If you go out there, and I would much rather be the spoiler than look bad, lose a game, and do whatever. If you can go into Tampa's house and embarrass them, that will feel so gratifying. Even though the Falcons will get a playoff game, whatever. I'm all for that. I am for if I can build some positivity going into the offseason in this year that was so just dreary and not fun and injury plagued and whatever, I'm going to do it. And honestly, I think this city kind of deserves a few hours on Sunday to watch an enjoyable football game. So, you know, as much as I want to agree with you and say, like, I think it would be worse for the Saints to help the Falcons into the playoffs. I don't know. If I can close out with a win, I'm going to do it.
But they're going to have an enjoyable game Sunday to watch, I think, Minnesota-Detroit.
That's true.
Jeff, always thankful for your time, and hopefully we'll get some more info on this black and gold bunch before they head out to Tampa Bay. You have a great trip, and we'll be talking soon. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sounds good, y'all. Thanks.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, also our WWL digital content producer. You can always check out his great work at WWL.com.